All right. 8:34 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein got AJ Hoffman sitting in. Raheel has made it in early specifically for this interview because he is another one who has watched. You watch all three seasons, right?
Actually, I tuned in just for this season.
Okay.
Only this season because so Jason Brown.
Yeah, I've seen season one, season two, season three. I'm a big Doc fan, obviously. My brother played JUCO ball in Mississippi back in the day. So he had kind of told me how the JUCOs roll. And joining us right now is the guy who is the head coach, and you can't miss him, straight out of Compton, Jason Brown. He joins us from Independence Community College. Definitely recommend, look, the series isn't going to be for everyone. Not everyone's going to like the series or whatever, but if you aren't interested in what you see, at least interested, and some will love it, then I don't know what to tell you. Coach, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
No problem. How you doing?
Good, good. So, all right, right off the bat, when you agreed to do Last Chance U, well, let me ask you, did you watch seasons one and seasons two? Were you aware of it?
Not really, no. They called me, and I really only seen a few shows, actually a few episodes of show one, and then I saw like the first two of show two, and I it was an act. And I just never, I wasn't interested. And then they called me, and I just wasn't interested again, and I basically brought it to my staff, and I just said, after a couple of days, I called them back after I talked to my young guys, and I just said, listen, I'm not going to take away an opportunity for these young guys to use that platform for kids or coaches. So we've got 11 coaches, D1 jobs in 2.5 years, and I wasn't going to take away another marketability situation for them, that, you know, a great marketing piece, and so I decided to do it. And once I do that, I'm both feet in, and not going to be a hypocrite and back out or not let them film something. And so that's kind of how it all kind of came to fruition.
All right. So let me ask you this. When you agree to do it, obviously what happens is you agree, whether you know it or not, to be judged, to be critiqued. They capture your life on and off the field. And then in most cases, in many cases, they do it, you know, filmmakers do a good job, but there's always a part of it where you are in the hands of the editor and the director and how they, you know, take some instances and will cut it up. Did you think they portrayed you accurately and fairly on the show?
Yeah, they portrayed everything you saw was me. What part you saw is what part they filmed and chose to put on the TV. You know, they don't film on Sundays. They don't film my team bonding sessions. They don't film me barbecuing for my staff twice a week. They don't film a lot of that stuff. They can only fit in some stuff. So there's even a great game they didn't even put on there because of they just have to pick and choose very delicately. So they portrayed me great. You know, as long as my kids graduate and they don't rob McDonald's and they get Division I scholarship, I sleep at night. I really give two squirts about what people think.
We have the head football coach from Independence Community College. You see him on Last Chance U, Jason Brown, joining us. Coach, the timeline. So when you agree to do this show, about how far out was that from the season? Word starts getting around. Are coaches reaching out to you because they want to take advantage of this platform? Are you using it as a tool to recruit kids? How did that all play in?
Nah, you know, I haven't. You know, I beat Mississippi out on kids when they had the show. So recruiting's our blood life, and that's what we have to do. We never really, you know, East Mississippi's beat us on kids when we had the show. We beat them on kids when they had the show. So I don't think kids go for where they can play right away. They can get in and where they fit in, so to speak. So I don't think the show is necessarily the deciding factor for a lot of kids, especially the D1 transfer kids. I think they've been there, done that. They kind of weigh their options. They kind of do some research, and they do those things. So it's not, you know, and we haven't been able to reap the benefits yet still. The show just came out. Signing class isn't until February. Our first class, you know, they know we had the show, but it didn't mean anything because the show hadn't came out yet. So maybe we'll reap some benefit after in this February signing class because now the show is out and it's a globally recognized show. And maybe we'll reap the benefits, but we're not stopping. We're slowing down our recruiting process, how we operate, and so we're going to continue to keep our foot on the gas.
Well, you're going to reap the benefits. I mean, we all know that season four is going to be in Independence as well. So season four of Last Chance U. So you're going to have kids who want to be on TV. The problem is, Coach, a lot of these guys come off, and I'm talking about season one, season two, season three. You clearly get a lot of knuckleheads. You clearly get guys who have big issues. But I don't think a lot of these guys realize that they're getting put out there and they're putting themselves out there for everyone to see. I mean, we see the issues. We saw the issues with Malik Henry. We saw the issues with a lot of these guys. But yet I still think they want that shine at TV. And that's why I would be shocked if you don't get some of the biggest names that, that are bouncing back into the JUCO level.
Yeah, you know, contrary to belief, I get the biggest names without
regardless. No. I mean, you can clearly recruit. It's interesting Raheel asked your question of you, because I will say this. Frank Diaz, when we had him on, and I know that you probably have some issues with Frank Diaz, he made a comment that, to me, showed me he was a little bit of an opportunist when he said that he heard that Last Chance U was going to be in Independence, and he thought that that would be a good fit and wanted to go there. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if he's one of those guys who wanted to be on TV.
Oh, there's no question. A lot of those guys. And I have no issue with Frank Diaz, by the way. He must have an issue with working hard. Yeah. But, you know, the deal is there's going to be people that want that fame, and we're not going to necessarily take those kids. You know, we've turned down 400 kids in a 24-hour span since when the show aired, and I had 5,000 emails literally in 24-hour span. And so we had to take my email address off the website and create another one and separate and delegate and do a bunch of things. And since the show's aired, what, 3 weeks ago, whatever, you know, we've had over 50,000 emails of kids trying to come here, and it's too late in the game, obviously. We can't dissect that. We can't watch film. We're in the middle of – we're 5 days from a game. And, you know, it's been crazy. I didn't know it was this globally recognized. You know, for it, I've gotten maybe – this is God's honest truth. I have – maybe 5 hate emails, hate meaning, you know, you shouldn't yell at people that way, da 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 da.
Coach,
and
5?
I've gotten thousands of love letters.
5,
from
Coach?
Females, and,
from,
you know.
Females?
Go ahead.
Only 5,
yeah.
Only five hate mails,
Coach? Come on now.
5 hate mails, brother. 5.
Wow.
Telling you.
That's not
so
what
you want to know some data?
Yeah.
It's funny, guys. I was listening to your guys' show. First of all, me and my coaching staff listened when somebody brought it to our attention.
Uh-huh.
We were in here laughing. We were laughing so hard. We thought it was a comedian show. But
it is.
This is the deal. We, people don't understand. The data analyst people from Netflix give me updates all the time. So the demographic Netflix targets is 20 to 35 for this show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm at 96% approval rate in that demographic. From 45 to 70, I was a 21% approval rate, and this is in the first week of the show. So now that people watch episode 4 on, which I have not watched that show, so you guys know I've only seen the first 2 episodes.
You haven't watched your show?
I'm not going to watch myself, no. I'll change, probably. And I'm not Buddy Steven, so you're not going to see me with some type of, you know, spiritual advisor. But the bottom line is, you see that you don't see the truth of all that because people don't understand the actual data. And 2 weeks into the show, the demographic from 45 to 70-year-old, I'm now like a 65% approval rate. So overall, I'm over 70-30 approval rate, which I didn't know about. I didn't care about. I thought I was going to be hated, just like in the beginning, you know, this half hate me, half love me. Apparently now it's turning since the show. I guess they've watched in totality, or they've figured out they've watched it twice. And so, you know, out of the 5 hate emails I received, 3 of them have sent me emails back since saying, Coach, I apologize. I've watched you. I get your methods of madness now.
Damn.
So I just was like, hey. Now my bosses, my athletic director, president, now they've received quite a few hate emails.
Okay.
So, but I don't get them. So, you know, it is what it is. I guess I said I was single on there. I've also gotten thousands of emails from females and social media requests. It's been crazy.
Any good pictures?
We're in the middle of camp, so it's tough to get back to anybody. But I try
anybody
to
slide into the DMs? Coach, anyone slide into the DMs with an interesting picture?
Oh yeah, I got a lot of that.
I was just checking.
So
yeah.
You know, it's been crazy. Some. It's been pretty crazy, man. I can't go out in public. It's been I didn't know that I was an actor. You know, I'm not. But you know, people think once you go on TV, I guess you're an actor. Yeah. And so I go to Tulsa Cigar Bar and get bombarded. And I just was like, hey, you know, I thank people. And I've never had anyone mad at me or hate me or come at me or nothing. It's all been great.
Coach,
positivity. And
this is wild. You have a better approval rating than the president right now.
Netflix actually said that.
See,
so, I believe it.
I think like an exec. That's why.
I believe it. Yeah, Raheel is the executive. Well, Coach, I got to say this. Look. I'll just be real with you because I tweeted this on Twitter after the first 3.5 into the fourth episode. I was like, dude, this is a total disaster. I mean, now you lived it. You haven't watched it, so you don't know how it's edited or whatever. The Garden City game, that just can't happen. I'm coming from a dad who's high school, college, NFL coach, won a Super Bowl, all that stuff. My brother's been a coach for over 20-some-odd years. I come from a coaching family, and I get, and my brother works with at youth. You know, he's been with a lot of at youth, at risk youth, and low income kids that he has to coach. And I get all that, but at the same time, you have to deal with some of the stuff that comes with it. And I don't doubt that you want what's best for those kids and you want them to succeed. But was there a time where you said, "Man, I got to slow my roll"? Because after after episode 4, it seemed like you chilled out at some point. We didn't see the same yelling, screaming. You almost got in a fist fight with one of your own coaches on the field at Garden City. That clearly went too far. You had to know that went too far.
Dodge City.
Yeah, I mean, Dodge City, my bad.
Yeah. I don't. You know, these guys, these single parent kids you're talking about, you know their moms talk to them worse than I do, right?
I know, but you're a coach. I don't care what their parents. I mean, I'm just saying you got a different role.
What is my role? Like, why is Kirby, my role different?
All right, well, Kirby Smart says, I think Kirby Smart says it best. He said, when you criticize the effort, you criticize the performance, you got to be careful about criticizing the person. Now, I understand you're dealing with different guys than he's dealing with, but sometimes it felt like it got real personal with you and some of the players and some of the coaches. I mean, real personal. And you even have admitted you choked another coach at one point at another school, and you had a hard time staying more than any one place in 1 year. You were just a one-and-done guy.
Mm-hmm. That's the coaching world, though. That's not because I got fired.
I don't know, man. I come from a coaching family. I don't think it's the coaching world.
When did you guys coach? Have you coached millennials? Have you coached this?
My brother coaches
kids?
No, you're right. Hey, listen. You're right on that. My brother coaches millennials.
I'm
right
just
now.
Asking, brother, because I'm.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
I
said it's different.
Show. I heard you what you guys say. You guys criticize me and all that. That's fine. I have no issue with you. And the bottom line is, Frank Diaz gave you about 30 lies.
Well, tell us something. What did he lie about?
Right now, just what, laughing.
But what? What
we
a Frank?
Laughing how hard it was.
What did he lie
First
about?
First of all, he dominated California JUCO. First of all, nobody knows who Frank Diaz is.
That seemed a
you
little aggressive.
I should probably call UCLA and ask Chip Kelly who he is, because I don't think he knows who Frank Diaz is. Number one. Number two. Keep him in there, will you? Fuck. It was comedy listening to him and how he portrayed me, because number one, he didn't come down from the booth in Dodge City and calm the game down. I brought him down for a simple fact that I wasn't going to play Malik Henry in the second half. My coaches were listening to that show like, this guy's making himself look bad. 30 coaches have called me just how bad that guy looks and who the hell is the guy. It's like, he really has put himself in a bad situation. I tried to help Frank, teaching him the ropes, because he can't even draw a card. He cannot get on the board. He looks horrible. So I tried to help him. So, you know, he just resigned from a buddy of mine's coach, who's the head coach of Santa Monica High. He left one day before camp. So you think he's spoken very highly of right now in L.A.?
No.
And then he drove 3,000 miles to do a volunteer job at a school where I'm very good friends with the head coach, who's a very prominent figure, and he has no clue that Frank's on the way there. So that's the type of guy you interviewed and listened to, okay? So you guys should have probably called the horse's mouth and got the real story. But
well,
it is what
you.
It is,
we
man.
Got you right now. We got you right now.
These guys, I try to get guys jobs. You know, 11 free guys, so you guys know, that since I was just making these guys, do slave labor, apparently. 11 guys got D1 jobs. None of them guys bitched and moaned.
No, so, that's why we have you on. That's good to hear.
And everybody's cut from the cloth different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Coach, that was one of the things where watching it, like, I don't think it was fair to portray, you know, where Frank Diaz goes, I'm not getting paid. Well, there's some circumstances why he's not getting paid. It's an unpaid job. And that's why we wanted to bring you on. So why is that?
Sure.
Why wasn't he getting paid for a role as a QB coach?
Okay. So you know, there's eight of those guys. So, you know, we had 16 coaches, eight are paid, eight are not. There's actually more than 20 unpaid at the D1 level every school. So, you know, Nick Saban and Pete Carroll also did the same job unpaid, and I did for 13 years unpaid. So I feel sorry for him 0%, and I feel sorry for any of my free guys 0%. When I grew up, we didn't have dorms and meal and free situation, and we would have jumped all over it at his age. We didn't have that in California JUCO. So the situation in Kansas and the NJCAA is totally different. There's dorms, there's meal plans. This is Division I of junior college. So these guys get Division I jobs because the Division I coaches know me as my reputation. So, you know, I've sent 190 kids D1. Not one of them's ever been kicked out of a 4-year. I've sent 18 coaches D1.
Not one has been kicked out, Coach.
Not one.
These are millennials. You just told me about millennials.
Huh?
We all know it's millennials. You know you got somebody that's acting up when they leave.
You should call Jeremy Pruitt and Coach Mack at Colorado and Pete Carroll and those guys and because they'll tell you right now my kid's the best JUCO kid they've ever had.
Coach, I'll say it just straight up. I don't doubt that you. Once again, I've been around the coaching stuff long enough to know that I don't doubt that you. Are sending, look, you're obviously a great recruiter. You obviously send guys out there. We saw the talent, the Calvin Jackson kid. I already know I have to do NFL draft profiles for 500 guys a year before the draft. Watch tape on all these guys. And I know that I'm going to have to look at Calvin Jackson at some point, Carlos Thompson. I'm going to have to probably look at Isaiah, your left guard, 55, who came from Rice.
Yeah. We had about 12 NFL guys on that team last year.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Highlighted may be better than the guys that were highlighted.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Abrams at Colorado. I coach Richard Sherman. Delrick Abrams is Richard Sherman. He'll be a one and done at Colorado.
What number was he?
And he was number 8 last year for us, but he's now at Colorado.
So why didn't we get to know him? Why did he just not picked as one of the guys they wanted to spotlight, or why didn't
we? Yeah, because he was a great kid, quiet. Nobody knew him. He was under the radar. But he's 6'3", long arms, can jump out the gym, and he's like starting right now at Colorado.
Awesome.
Well, that's what Colorado recruits: 6'1", 6'2" guys with long arms.
Every kid that left here is starting at the 4-year that we'd sent him to.
Man, that's awesome.
What happened with Malik then? He didn't look like he loves football, to be honest.
You guys know about show. You guys are on TV. You guys are in the business, man. They have to make the show also attract 100 million views like they have also. So a lot of that stuff's out of context.
Wait,
they don't show Sundays. They don't show me and Malik on Sunday when he's contrite, crying his eyes out. The stuff you hear him say, because I heard the first episode and I saw it, and I'm just laughing. Like, first of all, the guy didn't take over the offense. He didn't. That stuff's 30 and 40 minutes apart when you see the two exchanges. Then they act like me and him are on the same headset and hearing each other. So we don't even know that he had said half the stuff, but it's not even near us. And it looks like it's near us. It's like he's saying it to me when it's not. And then you got the time where, you know, they don't show the actual inner workings of the whole deal.
That's why I ask about editing, Coach. I ask about editing because I wanted to know if the editing was something that made it look different. I can tell you this. I don't need to know the context personally of Malik. I'm not even saying your relationship with him. Obviously, the kid doesn't love football. The dad likes it more. It made for interesting TV. He wasn't a very likable guy.
Are we wrong? Does he not like football or does he love football? What do you, you know?
He, in the beginning, I don't think he did. Then he's come to me afterwards, like before the season started, and our spring game, and he kind of, you could see something in him that changed. And so you see, this is the difference between Malik that you guys don't get. He was a 17-year-old early grad at Florida State. How many of us have been in those shoes? Number two, he leaves that place and comes to Kansas. So he's 18 years old in Kansas from California, like, oh, my goodness, where am I at? So then you got to make sure, that's fine and dandy. Now, I didn't have the issue because I was a little more of a leader instead of a follower, but I sucked it up and dealt with wherever my situation was. Malik had it, needed help in that regard. Well, he started to love football again like he did in high school, because he loved it in high school, and you could tell. Well, I thought he lost the love of football. I think it is back. Just so you know, Malik's trying to come back here right now, and I just don't think I can make it happen. Mm-mm. But the bottom line is, he does love football, and he knows he was portrayed on that show as being a fiery, unruly kid. But where was all those things happening at? On the field, correct? We all agree?
Sure.
Well, I don't know that
he did was on the field.
Well, he was pouting.
Have that issue?
He pouted off the field, too.
Not off the field, like, of the game. Don't see him. He never had one issue in the community, in the dorm, in the locker room, in the offices. He was a fiery, competitive kid that was on the field issues, talking to refs, talking to coaches, talking to kids.
Yep.
That was his issue. And that's where he needs to grow up and mature and have that. That's his problem. And whether his dad helped aid in that or not, that's a whole nother ballgame. But Malik Henry was not what I call a bat. You know, I call a certain word, but he wasn't that kid off the field.
Yeah.
And the kids actually loved the kid in the locker room. And Lane Kiffin will tell you, himself, that, man, I thought he should have been choked out by one of the teammates, but he never was.
Yeah.
So he had to have some type of rapport with the kids in the locker. And I'm like, he did.
He clearly did. Coach, we got limited time. I want to ask you this. Do you – what happened in the midway point? Because you did – there is a change. We know the school president calls you after the Dodge City game. We don't see the conversation. You ask – here's what you ask. You say, am I getting an extension or getting fired? Because you knew it. Things went down. Wasn't good. Even though lost that game.
Nothing to do with nothing.
Okay, then why did? But you were a different dude. What happened? Frank Diaz said you kind of went away from the team,
bro.
You didn't yell and scream.
I disappeared.
Yeah, he did say that. I didn't know what that meant.
My D coordinator was dying laughing. We had an 8 a.m. staff meeting after a 7-hour drive the next morning, and you saw us apologize to coaches and everything.
Yeah,
because that's what you know. After the game, that whole coach that I threw the headset deal at, quote-unquote,
yep.
I told him after the game. After the game is when I really got after that coach, because I said, I hired you here to do a job. You didn't do the job. I should fire you. But if I wanted to throw the headset at you, I would have threw him at your face.
You didn't throw it at him.
So
yeah, you didn't throw it
at
him.
The floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he got frustrated that he couldn't get the kid in the game, and he was probably frustrated at me yelling at everybody. Just so you know, do you guys know the definition of a coach?
I guess not.
It's to get you where you could not get yourself. So that's my job, to get these kids where they couldn't.
So you're not going to change
the coach's job, and that's why we have
the yelling and screaming, the name calling, all that stuff's not going to. You're not going to change anything about who you are or how you do it. You're not going to grow as a coach,
no,
or you don't
changing.
Think you need
I'm not
to
changing one bit because
okay.
I know what my reputation is, and Division I coaches know what my reputation is. That's why we're the highest recruited JUCO. In the
you
country.
Looking to go to D1?
We got more coaches coming through. Just so you know, we had 40 kids sign at mid-year.
That's what I heard.
National record. That's in December. That means my kids are graduating that are non-qualifiers in an 18-month period. No other school is doing
that. Do you want to go to D1?
We have the highest football-playing GPA in the conference.
What?
The highest GPA of all football-playing teams.
What is it?
We have the highest graduation rate of all football-playing teams nationally. And we have graduated more kids and signed more Division I kids in my 2 years here than anyone in the country. And so,
and you made it a point on the show about school. You made it. You consistently made it a point. I don't begrudge you any of that stuff. My whole thing, Coach, was just my main thing was the way you talk to other coaches. I don't know. I just thought you were a little bit out of line.
Have you seen Nick Saban?
Yes, I'm well aware. Yes, I know Coach Saban, all that stuff. But Coach Saban does not. Coach will go in, but. He didn't call his coaches mark-ass bitches, though.
I beg to differ.
Saban will get on his coaches.
I don't think they're being filmed. I talked to these guys since the show aired, just so you know.
Which guys?
They'll tell you. If they film me 70 hours a week, I'm sure they'd catch some shit, too. But, this is the thing. This is the deal, too. Let me just end with this, guys. I appreciate you guys having me, and I have no ill will towards anyone. This is the thing. Have you ever seen a kid or a coach bashing a line on Twitter or anything?
Have I ever seen a coach or a kid?
In 17 years. Any kid in 17 years or any coach in 17 years, because the truth will set you free. They know the real deal. They know me. They know what I do for them. They know how I am. And, whispering sweet nothings to a kid of this generation will get you about as far as
an inch. This generation is – I agree. The generation is very, very soft. I don't disagree with that. I just think – I don't know. I think there's
so
a line
– You know, not to cut you off, but guess what? Frank Diaz falls in this generation.
You might be right.
So do eight of my other coaches in here. So whispering sweet nothings to them. You know why? Because they're whispering sweet nothings to my kids who are the same generation. Okay. And guess what? Hey, man, a soft ass makes a hard head.
Hey,
and
coach,
I'm just going to tell you, they're not getting the point through by doing that. So,
coach,
you know, I had to fire a coach yesterday. So, you know, I had to fire a guy yesterday 5 days before a game.
Is it on TV?
Because he can't manage his kids. And the bottom line is I got 15 coaches, and we look really inefficient if we can't manage a group of 200 kids.
Sure. Coach, we have to get going here. We appreciate you. Before I let you go, I do need to find out. Bobby Bruce not on the team this year, right, with what happened in the offseason?
Bobby Bruce is on the team. He's actually sitting next to me.
Okay,
and
good.
He is not arrested. His arrest was falsely charged, and he's cleared. He's in camp. Does he play this year? I don't know.
Shout out Bobby Bruce.
Good.
Shout out Bobby Bruce.
Good,
he was one of the guys that guy can go get it, too.
Coach,
you got to get him to eat, though. Like, we can't have linebackers at 220, 218, man. You got to get Bobby Bruce. You got to get Bobby Bruce to eat. If he wants to get to the league, he can't get to the league at 217.
Man.
Let's eat, Bobby Bruce.
And final one, Coach.
Hey, I hear you. Now I'm trying to get him. We are trying.
Coach, final question. Did you get, you know, since the show was aired, and again, you're going to reap the benefits, are you going to get a better insurance rate on your Cadillac? Because that was that was ridiculous what that lady was quoting.
Man, I don't know, man. Kansas is a little different than where I'm from. This is pretty high. But I've had about 2 emails from Cadillac. I've had Mercedes-Benz. I've had insurance companies. I've had 5 boxes of cigars sent to me. It's been crazy.
Nice.
So,
now, can you call me?
It is.
Before you get out, can you call me a mark-ass bitch, please?
His name is Raheel.
Man, I can't do that.
His name is Raheel. Come on, Coach. Please,
Coach.
That's legendary.
It's a term of endearment for me from being that called by you. That's awesome.
I don't think I said that to the to a coach. I think that was to a player.
It was a player.
Raheel's a millennial, though.
Raheel is a mark-ass bitch too. You don't have to feel bad about it.
He truly is. He truly is.
Hey, you guys are mark-ass bitches for having Frank Diaz on the show. But hey, good
job, enough.
Man.
That's good enough. All right, Coach. Good luck this year,
man,
with your season. We appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, fellas.
All right, we'll see you.
Y'all are some mark-ass.
Y'all are some mark-ass bitches for having Frank Diaz on. He didn't watch any of the show. Now, he knows everything about how it was edited and all the stuff, but he didn't watch the show at all, which I thought was interesting.
Well, we're going to take a long break, so we'll be back.
All you mark-ass bitches, keep it right here on the Bench
Plus
Reel. I'm going to
go shave, brush my teeth, and
take a nap. That one went a while, but it went... he knows all the stats on this. I don't know that we can fact check any of them.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
He's a little, he's like, he went to the Trump school of coaching, I feel like. He's
just so you know. I'm like,
just so you know, we.
Yeah. Right, well, let's break it down on the other side.
Yeah, all right, let's do that.